let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come in the name above every name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we honor you, we glorify you, we praise you today for salvation in your name, that we might have life and hope and joy. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you with us today. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you. Welcome to our 10:30 service. And those of you watching online, may the Lord bless you. And we have a number of our people traveling, and we pray for them as they're on their way and to return safely. Revelation chapter 3 in your Bibles is where we'll be looking this morning as we continue to talk about because He reigns. Because He reigns. Because the Lord Jesus reigns, He has spoken promises to the church on the earth so that we might be ready, so that we might be ready for heaven when we go. We're talking about these things so that we have the opportunity to, again, remember and understand the reality of heaven. What will heaven be like? What will heaven look like? And how are we to understand ourselves in that wonderful, glorious place? Well, the Lord Jesus speaks these promises to seven churches. They're historic churches in the ancient church world, but they also are true. These characteristics of these churches are true for churches today. Today we look at Sardis, the worldly church. Sardis, the worldly church. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, to the preacher of the church in Sardis write, "He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Again, we have this promise. We'll look at only the first part of this promise, Lord willing. Next week, we'll look at the second portion of this promise in verse 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. Did you know that without holiness, you won't go to heaven? Did you know without holiness, you will not go to heaven? If you're born again, you will grow in holiness. It will be imperfect in our growth. We'll fail at times. We'll sin. We'll fall back. But the reality is, this is the statement of God's word. Pursue holiness. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, holiness is living like Jesus in this world. It's putting on Jesus Christ. It's living our life in a Christ-like way, in what we say, in what we do, the things that we are concerned about, and the focus of our life. Did you know that your lifestyle, the way you live, compares to the clothes you wear spiritually? So today we talk about your spiritual clothes. Today I wonder if you've come here wearing you've put on Christ and you're here today and you're wearing your clean, holy clothes, or have you come in here as a believer with sin-stained clothes and you're far away from God again, you are living in unholiness. Well, this is the reality that the Lord Jesus speaks about related to the Sardis church. And what the Lord says to the Sardis church ought to be of importance to all of us today who are a part of First Baptist Church. I've spent my years here talking to you and appealing to you over and over to remind you that holiness in this life leads to permanent holiness in heaven. Believers in heaven, this is the focus, believers in heaven will be eternally, perfectly holy. Believers in heaven will be eternally, perfectly holy. There will come a change and a transformation in our lives where our attempts and our sincere desire as we walk by the Spirit in this world to be holy will be transformed, and we will be like Him. And there will be a glorious transformation. So today we talk about holiness here that leads to eternal, permanent, perfect holiness in heaven. We set our minds now on things above. We focus on what the Lord is promising will be ours. So we read it again. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. I have three observations for you today that I'd like to make. Number one, believers who live in holiness honor the Lord Jesus. We'll see that in verse 4. We'll elaborate a little bit on it. Secondly, believers who live in holiness reveal their worthiness of salvation. You see, we're only worthy because the Lord makes us holy. And because of our holiness here, we will experience worthiness in heaven to be permanently and perfectly holy. And finally, believers will be transformed into the perfect holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But what do we see first of all? Well, we read in verse number 4, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. The New American Standard reads, they have not soiled their garments. Literally, this reads, they have not stained their garments. You see, stains are hard to hide in our life. Now, believers who live in holiness honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we seek to live our lives without stained clothes, without stained holy clothes. That is, our lifestyle doesn't have stains upon it. But here we see the Lord's warning to these believers who had stains of unholiness on their lives. Verse 1, I know your deeds. I'm reminding you today, whatever mental shape you're in today as you come here, or those of you who hear my voice, remember this, that the Lord Jesus knows everything you do. The Lord Jesus knows everything you say. The Lord Jesus knows all the secret places you go and the things you do that you don't think anybody else sees. The Lord Jesus knows. He is that one who knows your deeds. And that's what He says here. I know your deeds, church. I know your deeds, church, as a whole. And I know your deeds, church, as individuals. That you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. This is the condition of falling back into sin as a believer. This is the condition of living in unholiness in your Christian life rather than walking with God, filled with the Spirit, growing in holiness. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. This matter of spiritual deadness comes because we allow our old nature to take back control and corrupt us. Listen to the Word of God. The Bible says that if we indulge in the flesh, it provides corruption. It creates corruption in our desires. No longer do you want to walk with God. You're not on, as we used to say, on fire for God. You're not living for the Lord. You don't look forward to being with God's people. Church is a secondary thing, and prayer and spending time with God is a secondary thing. After all, you're busy. You're caught up in the world, and you have compromised, and you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. You're living in spiritual deadness. There is no life in you. The cares and worries of the world have choked out the life that you've had, and you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Jude says that we ought to hate the garment polluted by the flesh. You see, when we permit the old sinful nature to take back control in our life, and we don't continue to walk in the Spirit and to live for the Lord and practice those things that the Lord Jesus practiced and grow in our spiritual disciplines, we experience stain on our new clothes of being in Jesus Christ. In fact, what does the Word of God say? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh. When you get saved, it's like changing your clothes. I'm getting rid of these old clothes. I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm getting rid of this. I'm not doing it. I'm putting on new clothes. And now the way we live in such a way that we're living with our new clothes in Christ. And so be careful not to stain your Christ-like clothes. Lay aside the old self, Paul says, which is being corrupted. The old self is being corrupted. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's what we do as believers. We put on Christ. We continue to grow in Christ's likeness. We turn away from our old wicked nature. Put on the new self. Put on Christ. Put on the new self. All of these are descriptions of putting on our new clothes of salvation. Putting on our new clothes, but the stains, oh, the stains that come on our new clothes when we go back to sin. The stains of unholy living, my friends. The stains of pornography and its addiction. The stains of alcohol and drug addiction. The stains of loving money and prestige. The stains of hating others. The stains of pride and self-love and self-promotion, the stain of worldliness, the stain of sexual sin and adultery, the stain of a critical spirit and a gossiping tongue, the stains that come, that corrupt us. And the Lord says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. And what does He say? Verse 2, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. I'm saying to some of you today, I'm appealing to you today, you've just about lost your joy and you're back in your sin and you're miserable. You have no joy of the Lord. You're not walking in the strength of God. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead spiritually. You've allowed the world and you've allowed your flesh and the corruption of your fleshly desires to drive you back into sin. And you love your sin now more than you love God. You love your secret sins more than you just. So there are stains that have come upon your glorious new garment in the Lord. There are a few in Sardis, verse 4, who have not soiled their garments, describing holiness, describing living in holiness. You see, the Lord Jesus calls for these to repent. What do you do when you get stain on your holy garments as believers? You repent. You wash them. You get things right with God. And what does the Lord say to this church? Wake up. And what do I say to all of us who are living in our sinfulness again, not in holiness? Wake up. Pay attention. Do you not remember? Look what the Lord says. Here's how you clean up your clothes. Verse 3. Remember what you have received. Remember what you have received. How can I go through and remind all of you, many of you in this room have listened to hundreds and hundreds of sermons, thousands of sermons. You've read the Bible. You've read Christian books. Remember what you have heard. The Lord Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day and He rose. He ascended to heaven. He's coming again. The Lord Jesus' grace is for us. The Lord Jesus forgives us. The Lord gives us power by the Holy Spirit. I'm just repeating some things that we should know. Remember these things. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you. Remember what you have received and what you've heard. Do what you've heard. What you hear, do it. And he says, remember, verse 3, what you have received and heard, keep it and turn away from the practices that are corrupting you and putting stains on your holy clothes as a believer. Look, you can't hide your stains. The way you act and the deeds you perform as a believer either demonstrate a holiness that God gives to you as you walk in the Spirit, or the stains of your sin are evident to others. If you have on your clothes, everybody notices what you're wearing. Clothes make a man. Clothes make a woman. Holy clothes without stains, bring power to our Christian life and witness to the world. You see, this is the saddest thing we see. Believers who live in holiness are to walk in holiness because that demonstrates our worthiness and the power of salvation. What did Paul say? Well, Paul said, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Here we read, as we're looking at these words, after the Lord calls them to repent, those who have soiled their clothes in sin, he says there are a few people who have not soiled their garments, and they'll walk with me in white. Already speaking about holiness in this world leads to perfect holiness in heaven. You see, what starts here, he who began a good work in you will complete it. You see, this idea that somehow I can be saved and live in my sin, I can be saved and live in the grace of God but do whatever I want, is false teaching. It's the idea that somehow I just live off the grace of God and I go to heaven with all of my own lusts and corruptions, and of course God in grace will forgive me. What a misunderstanding. You see, once I come to know Jesus, once I really get saved, I don't want to deal with all that old stuff in my life anymore. I don't want to think the way I used to think. I don't want to run with the crowd I used to run with. I have no desire to look on the internet at those things I used to look at or pass them along to others. I start separating myself from those things that dishonor God. I seek to keep my clothes, putting on Jesus Christ without a stain upon me. You see, believers, my friends, when we're stained in our holy clothes, bring dishonor to the Lord Jesus. Someone the other day talking about another leader of the church who was caught in an indiscretion. Well, it's actually sin. Caught in public sin. I can assure you of this, that before your public sin is known, you were sinning in private, and the Lord knows what you're doing. So here we see this call of the Lord Jesus. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain. Is that for some of you today? Which are about to die. Don't completely go back to your corruption. Don't live in the stains of your sins on your holy clothes. Wash them and repent and remember what you've received and heard and keep them and repent. And finally, we come to this amazing promise. Notice what it says in verse 5. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. You see, believers in heaven receive new clothes. There's nothing more, I don't know what it is mentally. So there were some ladies on the television the other day. So now they're going to start a new club where they don't buy anything. They're not going to buy anything, and so they're going to not buy things because when they buy things, it gives them a false feeling of being special. Well, you know, when you buy new clothes, you feel different when you put on your new clothes. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you feel different. You should pay attention to the clothes that you have on. What did my mother say to me all of my growing up days? My mother's in heaven, but I still remember it. I'm still scared as I'm about to say it. If you get those clothes dirty, and then the rest of the story. You see, you have on new clothes. As a believer in Christ, you put on Christ. Why would you stain the clothes that the Lord's given you here? Because you see, we grow in grace and keep our clothes clean. We wash our robes, we repent, we kill sin in our life so that we might experience being clothed gloriously in heaven. Let me just read it to you. You've got your book, your Bible open in Revelation. If you're fast, you can read along with me. Revelation 4:4. Revelation 4:4. I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments around the throne. Revelation 4:4. Revelation 6:11. Just go a few pages. You have these tribulation saints who will be saved during the tribulation. They were given a white robe and they were told to rest for a little while until the judgment of the Lord Jesus would come upon the earth. In Revelation 7:9, I saw a great multitude, no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Of chapter 19, verse number 8, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, as the choir sang, and as we thought about today, the glories of heaven for the church. When we're gathered with the Lord Jesus, it was given to her, to the church, to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You see, your clothes spiritually are the things you do. The clothes that you wear, putting on Christ is putting on the clothes of Christ in holiness and righteousness. Revelation 19:11, the armies of heaven are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and they're following the Lord Jesus on a white horse. Oh, my friends, what an unbelievable statement. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. You see, the clothing of heaven is the clothing of unstainable holiness. The clothes of heaven are the perfected robes of holiness. The clothing of heaven are the Christ-like robes of holiness. Paul said, we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. When we get to heaven, we will be changed and transformed, like putting on holy, white, glorious, Christ-like robes. You see, this is an amazing thought. No more in heaven will a believer ever, ever sin again. You see, believers in heaven no longer have the possibility of sinning again. We have experienced transformation completely. And now we are completely like Christ, glorified as He is glorified. The old preacher Jonathan Edwards said, grace is glory begun, and glory is grace perfected. That's what happens in heaven. The grace of God you have experienced here, which is but a taste of the glory of God, will be yours in full forever, eternally. You will be changed and transformed into a glorious, holy one before the Lord. Just as we saw last week, He will light us up and we'll have the light of God in us. We'll have these glorious clothes. What do we remember today? Nothing is more shameful. Nothing is more shameful. Nothing is more discrediting to the gospel. Nothing is more discrediting to you as a believer than when you stain your life with sin as a believer. Nothing is more shameful than the sinful stain of unconfessed sin. Are you here this morning and you refuse to give it up? The Holy Spirit keeps saying to you what that thing is you're doing, or what you're thinking, or that offense you're holding, or whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit keeps saying to you, you need to lay that down. You need to give that up. That habit that you have that you think nobody knows about, but look, it's staining your clothes. You don't think anybody sees it, but the Lord sees the stain. And others see the difference in you. There is nothing more shameful. Why, if I'd come up here today, Pat would have let me come up here with this white shirt with a bunch of stain on it, how embarrassing that would be. Nothing is more shameful than the sinful stain of unconfessed sin. You see, this is why the Lord calls the church to repent. You know, all the time, bless God, we need to go out to these godless people and tell them to repent. Yes, and that includes a whole bunch of sinners in the church who've chosen to go back and are almost dead. You see, God calls the church to repent first so that we might go and share the gospel in power and in grace. Repent of unconfessed sin. It's corrupting you. It's staining your reputation and the gospel's. It's staining and it's dishonoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. For me to say that I am a follower of Jesus and live in open corruption and corrupt myself as a believer says one of two things. Either I'm really not saved, or I've allowed my flesh to take control and my old nature needs to be crucified afresh and anew. That's why we do it every day. That's why every day we take up our cross and die to ourselves. If you don't put yourself on the cross, if you don't kill your old flesh every day, you'll start feeling the corruption coming back. Repent of unconfessed sin and strengthen your spiritual life today. The Lord said it another way when He was talking about His coming again. He talked about some who would be ready and some who would not be ready when He returns. He said, be dressed in readiness. I'm asking you today in your spiritual life, if the Lord Jesus came today, would you be shameful because of what you've been doing as a Christian? Or would you be ready and joyful? You see, one of those two conditions is true for every believer in this room. You would be, are you shameful? Be ready and dressed. Be ready and dressed. The Lord Jesus is coming. His return is imminent. It's closer now than ever. The Lord is at the door, as I say to you every week. Not just rhetoric. I believe that with all of my heart. Live your life dressed and ready. Wash your clothes in Christ and remove the stains by repentance and calling on the grace of God. Remember what you have received, the Lord said, and remember what you have heard. Do it and repent of your corrupting sins. And finally, look, holy living now, promises perfect holiness in heaven. That's what the Lord says. He who overcomes will be clothed. You know, I always read this and think about the Lord's story about the sinful boy who went and ran away from home, blew all of his inheritance, you know the story, and he came back, and what did they do? He came back and repented of his sin, and his father said to the slaves, clothe him, put a new garment on him, put a ring on his finger. This son of mine who was lost has now been found. For some of you today, this is an urgent call for you to strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains, for it's about to die. You know, the saddest thing is to talk to somebody who used to be on fire for God and love God, but they don't even go to church anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. Some who have taught the Word of God and taught others the truth of God, but now they live in a compromised, lukewarm, spiritual deadness. There is nothing sadder than to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with stained garments of a holy nature. So what does the Lord say to us today? He says, he who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. The Lord will be your clothier in heaven. The Lord will be your clothier in heaven. And those clothes will always be wonderful and never have to be washed. And those clothes in heaven will be permanently glorious. And you will join with the millions upon millions of other believers in Jesus Christ who wear those glorious clothes, the clothes of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. and His holiness forever in eternal day. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments to the praise of the glory of His grace. Wash your clothes. Get ready. Watch for Jesus. Wash your clothes. Get ready. The Lord is near to the door. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus.